It's like a 13-year-old girl thought this up on DeviantArt.
All right, let's get going, guys.
Okay, so we've got 12 emails and
Henry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
It's kind of sad. I've seen the tail end of the movie now. I've actually seen
I thought you'd seen all of it. You got.
Yeah,
I
watched 7.1, 7.5 that for part one,
mm-hmm.
and 7.2 that evening. And it's interesting to see how the characters have ended up developing. Alan Rickman looks pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to see the most aging in the kids, because they're
and,
kids.
And Harry is quite a handsome young fellow.
Yeah, you see him in other movies, or in other clips and shit. He's quite the hottie. He sort of reminds me of Hugh Jackman in a way, especially when he's got the little scruff.
Yeah, a little.
I was like, damn it. I totally want to do Harry Potter. I mean, Daniel Radcliffe. Because saying Daniel Radcliffe sounds less creepy.
Well, it's like the chick who played Hermione, she's turned out pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Ron's
still doofy.
Well, he's a redhead. He can't help it.
He has no soul.
Now, Neville, he looks pretty normal. He grew up
tall.
He's tall and somewhat lanky and
mm-hmm.
looks like an average dude you'd see on Doctor Who.
And then he was on Doctor Who, wasn't he?
No.
There was somebody from Harry Potter was on Doctor Who.
There was,
and the guy that played Cedric Diggory is the guy in Twilight, apparently.
Yeah. Well, also Cedric, there's,
the guy that sacrificed himself in Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
So he plays the main character in Twilight, apparently.
Mm. I guess.
There was, the kid who played Malfoy.
Mm-hmm. Draco Malfoy.
Draco.
Yeah.
He pulls off his role pretty well. You only see him for like two or three scenes.
So I guess he becomes less of an important character as the story progresses?
Well, he's an antagonist by the end of the book. He's like a legitimate antagonist.
Uh-huh.
And was tasked with doing some shit. You've seen part one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when he was tasked to kill Dumbledore, and Snape was like, no, fuck you, I'm doing it.
That would have been part six. So.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. I know that Snape kills Dumbledore.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
I know that. And I actually, after I saw the fifth movie, I went on Wikipedia because the seventh book had come out around then. And I read the full Wikipedia articles for books six and seven so that I knew how the story progressed. And then I somehow missed seeing part six in the movies. But I went to see part seven in the movies.
Oh, well, see, I hadn't seen anything since like four.
Oh, okay.
I've only seen the first movie.
And it's like, okay.
They're pretty good.
Oh, well, I've read the books. Well, I just never see them in the movies.
I really liked movies, too. I mean, movie one is really... Mm-hmm. Welcome to Knockcast, episode 148.
Okay, so we're gonna keep that conversation going, but we're going to start the actual show. We're going to talk about Harry Potter, and we can... Oh, my God. Remember that guy who's like, oh, I never got into Harry Potter because it was so popular. Well, now we're going to talk about Harry Potter.
Did anyone actually say that?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you're not into something because... I'll just save it for the show.
No, we're doing the show now.
Well, hang on. Welcome to Knockcast, episode 148, The Aftermath.
Man, you just cut it there so that you could do the intro, you bitch.
Yeah, deal with it, bro.
Controlling the mic, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sitting at the computer and putting this shit together.
Well, I didn't want to do the intro anyway because that's what popular people do.
So popular, Seven. So popular.
So man, Harry Potter.
So Harry Potter, yeah. I saw...
Harry Potter.
Are you taking a shit? That's what it's like.
Harry Potter.
did not. Oh, that broke
a rule, didn't it?
You were saying.
I was saying I saw the fifth movie in the theater and I somehow missed the sixth movie, but then I saw the seventh movie and. But I read the wiki descriptions of book six and seven.
Seven totally deserved two movies because that is a thick as fuck book.
That's a, I'm going to beat a burglar to death with that.
And the thing is the movie I found it better than the book just because it managed to make the camping sequence fun and like mean something and not just. Can't be in the woods, can't be in the woods, can't be in the woods.
What if they did an omnibus edition of all seven books and it would be like two phone books together and weigh like 30 pounds?
Just be like the Harry Potter grimoire and it's like, you know, 2 feet wide, 2 feet tall, this massive tome of leather. And, you know, you could wield it, wear it as a shield.
Dual wield. Whap, whap.
What the fuck is Harry Potter? No, I'm playing.
Yeah, that sounds like one of the queer things, huh?
Yeah, we can't have that.
You like watching a movie about little boys? Ooh, you pervert.
Playing with their wands.
Witchcraft and shit. That's against God.
Playing with their wands under sheets.
And the sad thing is, that's actually been a legitimate complaint.
No, dude. Yeah.
About the it's Satanist wizards and warlocks.
I have a sister out in East Texas who lives in a double wide with her husband she's cheated on twice with three kids, and you know,
but she's a good Christian.
Yeah, she's a very good Christian. I mean, like, here's the premise for this. She's one of those people that's all like, you know, anything to do with wizards and devils and that kind of stuff is evil and Satan, and I'm not fucking kidding. Like, I was watching Digimon one time. You don't need to be watching that in the same household my children are running around in. And I looked at her and I said, bitch, well, you can leave, you know. It was not pleasant, but like...
Fucking Digimon, really?
Well, there is kind of a vampiric-looking demon Digimon dying on a pentagram.
So. Yeah, there was like there a Devimon. They did the Devimon and Angimon, and they had a bit more
but
like
seriously,
mythological
she didn't
base
even know
for
any
their
that shit.
Oh, I know.
Her, you know, someone somewhere told her it was not Christian. But like she had the same thing against Harry Potter, all that wizards and shit. Like, she's a fucking retard, redneck, close-minded
piece of
Christian.
Shit.
You should have just been like, fuck off, muggle.
Well, I remember one time I was getting ready to play Mortal Kombat with one of my little cousins. And her kid, who was also another little cousin, was not allowed to play, you know. Because she's a bitch. But anyway.
Well, it's the same kind of parents.
Y'all don't need to be playing any of that damn soul snatching.
So no one got to play Shang Tsung that round?
I'm not fucking kidding. And you know, and then I have two other sisters who are like, that bitch is a redneck. You know? But yeah, people like that think Harry Potter is the devil. They think that anything that is outside the norm or you know, like any fantasy world
fiction.
Where God and Jesus do not exist is evil.
Yeah, only their fantasy is allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So, speaking of which, I was getting so pissed off listening to the news today because they were talking about how the debate about teaching evolution in schools has reared its head again because now the science textbooks for the new term need to be approved by whoever the new person is in the Texas Department of Education, whatever. And she's a doubter of evolution.
No, she's a creationist, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's the same thing. But
no, she's like a legitimate 10,000, 6,000-year-old God-did-it fucker.
Yeah, she's not even a doubter. She's like...
Okay. I was actually trying to be polite.
No,
on the side
no.
Of
that is a level of ignorance.
So, okay, so she's a dumb bitch, and I was just like, man, they should pass a law. Now I know I'm getting old. No fucking religious person should hold a position of authority in our fucking educational system.
Yeah,
or
a conflict of interest.
Or in science at all. It's like, you know, one thing is reality, one thing is not. Let's not teach our kids some dumb shit at an impressionable age.
Oh, well, I mean, then we should talk about how fantastic the abstinence-only education has worked in Texas. Read an article about that today, too, about how, you know, there's fucking daycares in high schools now because bitches get knocked up. They can't talk about it. You should just not fuck. Not, you should use condoms. You should use the pill. You should do anal. No, these bitches are getting knocked up, having babbies at like 15, 14, 13.
But it's good to know that oral and anal sex are on the rise in teenagers ever since this shit.
It's like saving it for marriage, do it in the butt, you know?
Yeah, which is actually happening. And it's like, I couldn't get anal from girls when I was a teenager. God damn. Well,
the sickening thing about Texas is, you know, I love this state. I love living here. I love driving through it.
Fuck Texas.
But, like, the way that our districts are lined are beneficial to Republicans. They actually realign our districts as much as they can to
minimize
Democratic or minority votes.
Yep.
And
which is funny because this is a majority-minority state now.
Right. A majority of Texans don't vote Republican, but a majority of their votes literally don't matter because you have a bunch of evil, corrupt pieces of conservative shit that are realigning our districts to make it, you know, go in their favor. It's like those fucks out there in California trying to break it off into two states. They're trying to break it off into the most conservative part of the state, therefore taking away Democratic representation power in Washington.
Yeah, can we just scoop up Dallas and move it to Northern California?
Yeah, we need to take Dallas, Austin.
That would be awesome.
Half of Fort Worth, because, you know, I like the barbecue.
We need to borrow the St. Louis Arch, because St. Louis is a city with a handle, and we just pick up Dallas and move it halfway across the country.
Apparently, Texas's teen pregnancy average is 50% higher than the national.
Yep.
That's sad.
So, well, you know, praying for rain worked so well. Maybe we could pray the babies away, except that would be abortion.
And just think, this man might run for president.
I hope he does, because he will lose in a fire.
I actually don't think he's going to run. You know, I think he's...
Oh, you think he's pulling a Palin?
He's pulling a Palin, or he's pulling a Trump, or, you know, he's just sort of...
He's after...
Like, he's actually said that he's not, but, like, all the pundits are saying, oh, he's considering it and shit, and I think they're just sort of teasing it out at...
Well, he's not fucking retarded. Well, he is fucking retarded, but he's not dumb enough to know that he can't play this out and make a whole bunch of money off of it. But he knows that the United States of America is still a little butthurt over having a conservative Republican from Texas who boned us completely.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the United States citizens are not real keen on electing someone president who once suggested that his state secede from the Union. Even if it was a joke or not, it was a fucking applause line that he delivered to the pinheads that were listening to him.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that?
I was into Jonathan Coulton before it was called Paul and Storm.
Wait, is he in Paul and Storm?
No, they're another thing. It's just one of those things that shows up. What?
Oh, so I'm going to repeat the joke that I saw retweeted on Twitter today. But, I can't remember how it started, though.
It's, how did the hipster burn his mouth?
That's right.
He ate the pizza before it was cool.
Yep.
Yep.
That's...
We should have told Panther that, because he's the one that told us that was a really good hipster joke.
Why is that even funny? And then until you delivered it before it was cool, that's when I got it. It's like, okay, now I understand. But in Twitter, it's just like, why? What's this? Oh, doesn't make sense.
Get with the program, woman.
Yeah, I got it on Twitter.
Jeez. Ooh, misogyny. What you gonna do about it?
She's recording from the kitchen last week. She can't reach about us. He has a buildup of it. He has to get it out.
And the misogyny is reaching 9,000 weeks. By the way, because some fucked up shit happened at work. The reason I haven't been on is...
He mentioned it last week.
I was like, some inconsiderate fucker killed himself.
Oh, shit, dude, I was just going to say my coworker passed away.
No.
No, he actually said that, and I was like, I don't think we're supposed to talk about that. He's like, Ricky talked about it on the show, and I'm like, really? Okay.
I wasn't in that detail.
Some inconsiderate fucker killed himself with my exact wording. I am a master of diplomacy.
Go back and listen to last week's episode. The opening 15 minutes are about ways to commit suicide and blowing your brains all over a wall.
Oh, shit.
You leave us alone for 4 weeks and this is what happens.
Oh, my fucking God. I was just going to say the poor bastard just passed away and I don't know any more details. I was going to lie to our fair listeners.
No,
but
man, they deserve better.
They deserve the truth.
They can handle the truth.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Earth.
A coworker of mine basically shot himself, from what I understand. I really don't know the full details. All I know it was suicide and he is...
Yeah.
No longer here, and I had to pick up all the Houston work. So I've been down there, I was down there for 3 weeks. And coming back, I worked overtime. Fucking 70 hours last week. It was ridiculous, doing all the reports from that.
But you're here this week, so yeah. Let's get
Did
horrible.
You leave your own lungs here and then have them transplanted back when you came home so that your real lungs wouldn't be damaged breathing the Houston air?
No, I didn't think ahead. The most terrible fucking part of that is, look what time of year it is. It's fucking hot outside.
Hot as fuck.
It's Houston.
It's humid.
Oh, God.
It's humid. It's burning fucking hot. I had to inspect a steam boiler, not one that provides hot fucking water for your showers. A steam boiler that provides, fucking steam for a hospital inside of a metal penthouse on the roof of a fucking hospital.
Oh, my God.
Did you have, heat sick?
I lost, 20 pounds in fluid up there. It was fucking awful.
Jesus, you should have wore a still suit from Dune or something to stay hydrated.
I just that whole week, my clothes were disgusting. It was awful. And and Houston's fucking ghetto. Houston is a fucking ghetto ass city. There are some really nice places around Houston, like Katy and the Woodlands and shit like that. They're awesome places.
But not in Houston.
But God. Fucking, we walk in, we go to this apartment complex to do an inspection of their boiler systems, and my coworker's like, hey, look across the street, and I turn around, the fucking apartment across the street has, a barricaded fence taller, it was a 10-foot tall fence with barbed wire running around the top of it, and the one we went into... We walk into the boiler room. They hadn't been in there for half a year. The fucking ceiling collapsed onto the boilers. There's leaking going on. all shit was just fucked up. And, excuse my racism, but these fucking Mexicans down there can't speak a lick of goddamn English. It makes my job 20 times harder. It's like, oh, you see that?
No bueno.
No speaking English.
Were you doing your job or are you playing Fallout?
No shit.
Jesus. It sounds like a war zone.
I'm going to have to get some fucking Rosetta Stone or some shit because I'm going to be in Houston 1 week out of every month for probably the next year and a half.
Aww.
Learn you some Spanglish.
Yeah.
Go down there and sing Bailamos.
Thankfully,
the only Spanish I know is Enrique Iglesias.
Thankfully, I hang out with friends while I'm down there and not go insane. So
yeah, at least you know people. Mm-hmm. There are poor, unfortunate furries stranded in Houston.
So sad. So true.
So unfortunate. So.
I have a confession. I like the Jonas Brothers cover of that.
I don't think I've heard it.
I've not heard it.
It's like a rock out version. Whenever she goes, Flotsam Jetsam, now I got her. He goes, Nick and Kevin, now I've got her. It's fucking
oh, his brothers.
But I love it.
It's okay. So, by the way, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Reki, and that's Shiva. No, I'm playing.
You do the talking for her. So you read an email, and then you read an email for Shiva.
That's because that's how it rolls, Ricky gets in, he has to drain his misogyny batteries.
It's like lancing a wound. Gotta get the misogyny.
We are on a roll this week. That is for sure.
We're on to something.
Yeah.
Why do you have pictures of ovaries on your monitor?
He's just homesick? I don't know. That's the inside
of a... No thanks.
The inside of a pony.
It's full of marshmallows. It's marshmallows. Ponies are made of marshmallows.
And pussy. Ew. Maybe just Rainbow Dash.
Pony Poon. No. That should be the name of candy a clock. Badge. But... Candy Vag.
Clanking clitties.
I could lick this all day.
Well, that's the joke, is that, you know, they're candy ponies. They're candy colored ponies. So the phrase is candy badge.
Oh my God.
I didn't know somebody had come up with a term for that.
See, this
there's a term for that.
This is the aspect of the brony community that you don't talk about on your other show.
No. It exists. I mean, it exists in any community.
Yeah.
What is this now?
The adult aspect of
people,
the...
Rule 34 and Klopfic and...
Like I said earlier, clanging clitties. What? There you go. You know, scissoring.
Is that what that's what Applejack calls it?
Clanging clitties.
Yes.
Okay, you can stop now.
Scissoring.
No.
Nay.
That's a look from nigger.
What?
I'm sorry. Every time I think of ponies now, I think of the Boondocks one I posted on Twitter.
With Tara Strong.
No. The it's Rainbow Dash and Applejack.
Oh, so when they're calling each other nigga bitches.
Yeah, it's when they're racing and they bump into, watch where you going, nigga. Hey, what you say, bitch, nigga?
The one that's
squeeze it, nigga. I fucking love that. That's hilarious.
What's funny is that Tara Strong was actually in that show. The voice actor for Twilight Sparkle, and she's the same voice.
Oh, wow.
To make things more interesting... She's also voicing Poison, the trap character from Final Fight, and Street Fighter Cross Tekken. So she's Poison, the
crap.
Supposedly trappy fighter.
Nice.
So yeah, Tara Strong's in everything. She's like Jennifer Hale. She's in everything.
I remember when Kingdom Hearts came out, I always said that Sephiroth was a total fag. Lance Bass played his voice in that game.
Well, what do you know?
Really?
Fucking kid you not. You can look in the instruction booklet of the original Kingdom Hearts. It says
Sephiroth. I believe you.
Lance Bass.
I believe you.
Is he the one that came out later on? Okay.
Well, the other one who came out was Jonathan Knight from New Kids.
Oh, really?
Yep.
My God, a member of New Kids was gay?
Holy shit.
Is that surprise?
Well, actually admitted that was the key point.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Surprise! So, I think that since we have blathered on for about 20
fuck emails.
Minutes,
let's just keep blathering.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, fuck the show. We're doing Blather
Back Streets.
Oh, we have.
We have a dozen emails. We should probably,
read like two or three of them.
Yeah,
bullshit a bunch.
You know what? Tomorrow's Friday at work. I don't give a fuck. So
it's closing. So
you probably give a fuck.
I give a fuck.
I don't have shit to do. I've got to find stuff to do right now because I just blasted all that Houston shit out.
Like today, I got all the shit that I needed done this weekend out of the way. So I'm like free all weekend.
Well, so, yeah. No, you're not. You have that meetup.
Yes, but that's not like worky type stuff.
What? Time, day, is that Saturday, right?
6 p.m. Saturday.
It's that late? Wow, so I got all day to masturbate before
yeah,
I go
like
hang out with cronies.
6 p.m. till close. Basically, because they're open to like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Late as fuck.
Basically, I'm going to be there like 5:30 or whatever to start facilitating shit when people arrive. I will probably leave near closing.
So, to fill listeners in here... So, Saverin set up a brony meetup here in Dallas, and so far 40 fucking people are coming to it, and people are driving in from Austin and Houston. I'm like, fuck, really? Like, drive 8.5 hours to go to a main event with people that you like the same show as they do?
People drive how many hundreds of miles to go to a convention?
Yeah, but I sell thousands of dollars when I go to a convention.
Yeah,
I have a good reason to drive 20 hours to Pittsburgh, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Just, like, if I was just going to go to, like, a fur meet Or like a bunch of fucking who fags wanted to meet up somewhere. You know,
there's people that are trying to set up like some stuff down in South Texas.
That's what I was thinking.
First
I'm like,
to the gate.
Houston and Austin are big enough cities with enough hip young people in them that they should be able to set up their own brony meetup. So I'm kind of fascinated, I guess, that people are driving all the way up here from South Texas to go to an arcade, basically.
And hang out and play bowling and meet up with people.
Yeah. No, it's really one of those things that most of the people fall
under the same typical nerd profile. And it's a good social option for people.
It's like, I got a car and 20 ounces of Shasta. I'm going to drive to Dallas. Yeah!
Yep.
I'm going to read an email.
You should read an email, Fuzz.
Tim was like, you're not allowed to go.
Oh, on Twitter?
Well, I was talking to him on AIM.
Oh, okay.
And you can be like, fuck your shit. You can go.
Yeah, you need to come to the meet with us.
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm not a brony.
Well, you like the show.
Oh, yeah. But
I don't know what officially makes people a brony or not.
I think self-choice.
Yeah, probably.
And
is that right, Saverin?
It's just, if you're a fan of the show, you don't have to identify as anything, but it is a social get-together to hang out at a main event and play bowling, laser tag, and mini golf, and pool with like-minded people for 8 hours. Or whatever.
So
I'm going to like walk up to someone and be like, so,
grown-ass men who are into a 7-year-old girl's television show.
Yes.
As opposed to grown-ass men who like what dog people fucking.
Oh, I'm not trying to validate it or anything.
I'm going to go and be the creepy guy and we'll walk up to people and be like, so, want to make out?
You mean so you'll fit in?
No, I'm so I will have to disavow you. I'm sorry.
Saverin's like, I can't have anybody moving in on my game.
He's not one of us. I was like, I was on the podcast. You're going to love me.
You'll pay for this.
You're going to love me. Oh, Fuzz, you're ruining everything forever.
I know. I'm not, am I? I'm not. We should read emails too much, am I?
Read the fucking email. God damn it.
Who, me or him?
Me.
One of you fuckers.
Fine.
Cleaning house. Some lead up is needed before the meat of the email. Thanks to my mate being in the military, we have an agreement that we can both do our own thing. It's a fairly open relationship which verges on polyamorous. That sounds pretty polyamorous to me. It's a little complicated. Either way, several months ago I started online dating a husky. We worked under the agreement that if he found someone local, then that was priority. Still, it stung a lot. For a period of time, I couldn't even bring myself to talk to him, but now things have smoothed over and we, Husky, new mate, myself, are all really good friends and care for each other quite deeply. I do believe, however, that this is due almost entirely to the fact that we knew a split up was possible and just a general want for each other's companionship that we were able to reconcile so well and quickly. TTFN, much love to Shiva. Don't know what your situation is, but best of luck. Jeffrey Wolf. P.S., pain is like Jamaican wine. The longer you let it sit, the more toxic it becomes to your health. I don't know much about Jamaican wine, so I'm going to take your word for it.
That's not what I was thinking.
Wow.
Where's the question?
There isn't.
I think he was just telling the story.
Okay.
They're writing in. Sometimes people write in just about the topic.
That's true. That's true.
Send your questions or comments to Notcast.
God, I'm so insensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because you're a pony. It's fucking assholes ruining our
ruin our good clean
our
furry
pure
fandom
furry show. Pure of your
God
your hybrid bullshit. Oh wait, that's me.
That was yeah. Good. Well, you know what? At least you're not like a fucking tar or something. God, or something generic like a fucking gray wolf. I mean, God, who even does that? It's 2011.
And even worse, what kind of faggot has their species name and their character name? God.
I know.
Hey, I have brown head fur. That makes me unique. Except for every other gray wolf with brown head fur and white markings I see. And I'm like, that looks just like my character. And I realize there's like four other people that have a character that looks just like my character.
That means you have four times the extra porn potential.
Yeah, I'm like,
be like, you know what? That's not me, but I can fap to it.
I can squint and pretend.
They're like, I wouldn't nail that. What the fuck?
You know what's funny is that every other Fuzzwolf I've found online in some form or another is so completely unlike me. They're always like my polar opposite in some regard. Like, there's one that's a fursuiter, and there's one locally, actually, that I found. It's on, like, a Minecraft forum. And it's like, Fuzzwolf, male, DFW, has a Minecraft server. So if you ever run into this guy, Saverin, it's not me.
He hasn't suddenly magically discovered Minecraft.
And then there's another Fuzzwolf that's out east somewhere that his character description is 8 feet tall, 400 pounds, rippling with muscles. And I'm like, and you know I'm into the skinny, twinky, girly boys. So I'm like, wow, that is like the exact opposite of my Fuzzwolf character. And I pointed this out, and someone on Twitter was like, hey, we should get a picture of my character between your Fuzzwolf and the other Fuzzwolf. And I'm like, I guess that
your
could
very
be
own clones. Now, wait a minute, you're not also not virgin.
So Fuzzwolf is kind of like, I don't know, John or Dave. It's the everywhere name.
It's the Kovu of the Lion King fandom.
Kovu or Fenrir. You know, those names are like fucking
Epona.
You know, my name's Jason. My name's Jessica.
Oh, Simba.
Aiden, Caden, Brayden, Jaden.
Oh, I know like three Kobolds. As well, I know three Growlies, but one is cooler than the others because she's my friend.
Yeah,
if I'm not the first one on the, like, when a board starts up, Shiva's always taken.
Yep.
So.
but the thing is that when I joined the fandom and created this character, there weren't other Fuzzwolves around. There was one, but it was from, like, years prior, and it had been abandoned. Like, the person wasn't active anymore.
It was
so
homeless.
I was, like,
living on the street corner. Like, you could be my persona.
It was some girl in Alaska that was, like, 10 years younger than me. So I'm like, this isn't going to be a conflict.
You're a girl.
But, no. But ever since then, all these other Fuzzwolves have popped up. And it's like, motherfucker, before you pick a furry name, Google that shit. So that you have a semi-unique name that's, you know, not crazy or something, but, you know, like I said, there's three Kobolds, there's three Growlies, there's like five Fuzzwolves. It causes confusion.
I'm not the only Saverin.
Really? Do, that's like a really unique kind of name, I thought.
Well, I do think I'm the only Recce.
Well, I've found probably that certain other places the name is taken, so I think there may be a couple other people that use the name Saverin. I've been using it longer. I admit that I got the name from a character off some random artist site from like, I found the character's name on the Orlando Furry Archive when it still existed, and the character's name was like Saverin Furfire, and he was this doofy winged thing.
Did you go say Saverin Furfag?
No, his name was like Furfire. I'm like, that's a terrible surname. What the fuck?
I'll take that character and give him a proper surname.
Dark Fox. No. God, that was dumb. But I was,
you
like,
were young.
I was 16.
Yeah. Boy, this will sound really good, and I'll write my Fennec adventures.
Yeah, I've been using the name Saverin since I was like 16.
Yeah, well, so your first character wasn't a Cornarian soldier from Star Fox, so.
No.
That's some faggoty shit.
I put
there.
The cornhole in Cornarian. Oh,
yeah. God. So, hey, we should guess we read the next email. How about
all
that?
Alright, I'll do that.
Alright,
using
your
talents and
fucking hybrid ass.
Oh, yeah, you know what?
He's gonna,
know,
like, start speaking in Koopa halfway through this.
What is that? Do I just kind of do this through? You know?
Start speaking in Koopa. It's the sound of turtle shells being thrown.
Don't tempt me. Just throw fuzz into my moat of lava.
Why
you're
going to
retract into your shell, spin around, do like crazy amounts of damage.
No, when you're driving your car, I'll do that. So, boom, knock your ass off the road.
Blue shell.
Oh, no, just red. Just, I'll be right behind you.
This fucking chair.
Yeah, don't lean back in it.
Fuck the Koopa shell. You are trying to destroy everything in this apartment. Last week it was that thing. And this week you're like, oh, the chair, it's moving.
Oops, I forgot it kept going.
Yeah, that chair's shitty. Be careful.
Yes. Yes, it is.
There's a reason it's the fourth person chair.
The spiky shell is dangerous.
The person who was late because she was getting ice cream for everybody. Yeah, I see how it is.
The ice cream was nice. Thank you.
The ice cream is very...
See? I mean,
see, she was thoughtful very enough, appreciated. But still not enough to give up your seat on the couch. I see.
Oh, fuck.
You know, there's plenty of space in the kitchen.
I was about to say, you can't fault me because your ass stopped by the kitchen first to bring us ice cream.
You were following your natural instincts. That's perfectly acceptable. And you know what's funny? I was, you know, Saverin was finished setting up and shit like that. And I was like, so where the fuck is Shiva? And then you show up with ice cream. I'm like, oh, okay. That's all
she
right.
brought us ice cream. It's amazing. So we should read an email.
We should.
Shiva's not killing herself in the corner.
Lower the misogyny dial a little bit.
A little.
Use your talents and having a better social life. Hello, knotted ones. I am... What the fuck does that say?
I'm Izil Garneta, the black fox with red stripes and emo hair.
Good enough for me. Pick it up from there.
I have been meaning to email you for a long time, but I have been busy with college and finding a second job. I really don't have much talent other than video games, Photoshop, and of course a passion for the occult.
Do you have to read this emo since he has emo hair? Because I really don't have much talent other than video games.
I don't
Photoshop.
Have the fucking patience for that. So
and then you have to stop midway and adjust the fringe of hair and sigh.
Read the fucking email, goddamn.
I really don't have much talent other than video games, Photoshop, and of course a passion for the occult, although I am Christian. I am trying to save up for a couple of Adobe programs, Flash, Photoshop, any website design program, cosplay material, ears, tails, body paint, and of course gas and car insurance funds. I'm living with my stepmom, who's a clean freak, and my dad, who is in Africa, still in the process of whether or not he's going to Afghanistan. I have had no time between cleaning, searching for a job, and school to have a real social life or working on the newfound talents I have right now. Are there any tips on making time for me to work on my talents and turn it into a profitable side business? As for the second question, I have no idea on how to talk to chicks. I mean, I do, but not hang out with me further than the night we met. Any tips on this for me? With claws crossed and eyes shut, whatever the fuck my name is. P.S. I'm willing to make a logo for Notcast. Any details on price design, email me at I'm not going to give this person's email out. .edu.
Good job. So, he sounds like he is a busy guy. He's got two jobs and
hobbies.
College and hobbies.
He's got to be Jamaican. I work 15 jobs, man.
And in between my jobs,
do we have a racism quota tonight?
No, I was just thinking of the old and living color sketches where they're like, it's Jamaican air and, you know, the steward is, he fucks something up and the guy demands to speak to the captain. So the steward turns around, puts a different hat on his head. He's like, I'm the captain. How can I help you?
Yeah. Let's see. Finding a second job. Yeah.
It started up here, didn't it?
That's the one with ED.
Hang on. Dolphin's fucking.
You just need to give it a good stroke now and again.
I just thought, you know, someday they'll learn to use lube and then the bottom one won't keep squealing.
It sounded like otters dying.
Testing. You can hear me okay?
You're fine.
Good.
So, college and a second job. And you say you don't have talents other than video games. Well, that's not a profitable talent. It's a fun thing, and, you know, people can get pro and do stuff like that. You know, fucking Daigo Umehara comes to U.S. every year and steals all the money from Evo. But,
What?
I'll explain later.
Okay.
Photoshop, not exactly a profitable talent unless you can draw.
Well, actually, if he can do... Since he's offering his logo work, if he can do design and he's working in Photoshop, then yeah, logo design actually could pay something, or web design if he goes into that.
You know, I wouldn't say go like whole hog and get Adobe shit right off the bat. There's plenty of free alternatives that work fairly well and are good for educational value. because Adobe stuff is extremely expensive.
And in some cases, there's better materials.
Actually, as a college student, he might be able to get the much cheaper college edition.
Yes. It really depends, though, because a lot of the times when you get a good – for, like, UCD, I know back in the day, because Panther went there for a while, you could get, like, $5 software, but you had to be in the class taking a relevant course, and the license expired after – X period of time. Not that that didn't stop you from reinstalling it or anything, but ooh, you didn't have a valid license. But like, I know for me at Brookhaven, on my classes, they don't give you fuck. I give you fuck all in terms of discount.
I'll also say another talent that he has is this email is all actually spelled correctly with correct punctuation and capitalization, which might sound condescending or like a minor accomplishment, but dude, this is like head and shoulders over like 75% of the emails that we get.
It's like, it's not an accomplishment. It kind of is.
It kind of is. So, you know, you're whatever you definitely have a good grasp of grammar.
Mm-hmm. You could write.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that he has a good grasp of storytelling or forming a narrative or anything like that. He can English good, which means that, you know, he could write reports, he could write copy. I mean, if he could do like web design or something, like I was saying.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be riddled with typos and shit like that and make whatever company hired him look derpy.
Cosplay material is something you should probably have a passion for, not try to make money off of. Because, again, it's not really a profitable field.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine fursuit makers really make that much more than material cost. I mean,
well, they make more than material cost, but it's still a massive investment of time and labor.
Yeah, yeah.
That if the person flakes out on, you're stuck with a useless chunk of fur.
Yeah.
If it's like customized pretty closely.
Yeah, especially if it's some fucked up hybrid character with weird colors or anything like that.
But working on your talents, I mean, it's just a matter of doing them. You know, instead of browsing the internet, going and
doing,
being in chat rooms or playing Team Fortress 2, you know, just sit down and focus on sewing, focusing on
not being an anti-hybrid asshole like Fuzz. No.
You know,
I'm a pure wolf. I'm not a mudblood.
I mean,
to tie it back into our earlier discussion.
At least he's not a dirty muggle. I would say right now your time is going to be pretty tight, though. I mean, you're working two jobs, living at home, doing school.
Do you want to answer the other question?
How to talk to girls beyond the first night?
Number one, don't call them chicks.
Yeah,
broads or babes.
Bitches.
Or hoe.
Sluts.
Or an incubation system for a vagina.
Tetris.
I heard someone say that once. I thought it was amusing.
Yeah, that's nice. That's,
I don't know. Sometimes, nice. Even if it's a guy or girl, it takes you a couple of times sometimes running across people to, you know, kind of start up a friendship. Yeah.
You know, honestly, you sound like an interesting guy because you have a lot of interests here. There's got to be probably girls in your class or to go to your school or something that might share some of the same interests. And it's really, you know, just
they're Photoshop for video game ghost hunters.
And I would say just make friends with them without trying to date them or really moving beyond that. And then you just kind of become gradually closer, and then you know, that might move on to something more later on. And if it doesn't, then, hey, you've still made a good friend.
Yeah, and that's consistent with what we've said is, you know, make some friends.
Sometimes it's, and this is kind of underrated, and I wonder how many people are so wound up about talking about themselves when they meet someone. It's kind of impressing them. Sometimes a good approach is to get the other person talking, get them talking about their interests, get them talking about what they want to do. And sometimes having a receptive audience, you know, letting them kind of steer the conversation, can give you an idea of what they're interested in. And so you can kind of keep asking questions and building on that as a basis rather than saying I like Photoshop and then shrugging. You know, give a little back and forth. Don't look at impress. Look at just starting a conversation and just, you know, find out more about them. And then as you do that, you can let little bits of yourself drop out and, you know, see where there's common ground.
Yeah. Also, you know, girls like a guy that'll listen. So don't go in just talking about yourself and all your interests. Listen to what they're saying, too. And like you were saying, give it a kind of a back and forth. But do you want to go on to the next email? I think we covered that one.
Yep.
Let's see. Off topic, response to the anxious South African fur. Hello, Notcast crew. I'm in a bit of a manic phase responding to this so quickly. My heart is beating 50 times a minute. In a recent podcast, you gave some very good advice to a South African fur who had anxiety issues when being touched. I would like to strongly support Fuzz's suggestions to tell people in advance about it. I had some pretty serious anxiety issues myself, and I found one of the things that was adding to the anxiety was fear of how people would react if I had an attack and how I would explain it at the time. By telling friends in advance, I felt a lot less anxiety and actually had fewer attacks. Let's see. I would also like to point out that physiologically, the symptoms of anxiety, high heart rate, dry mouth, etc., are the same as those for excitement. Sometimes an anxious person becomes key to watch out for things like increased heart rate and then interprets excitement as anxiety. Try telling yourself, I don't have to do this, but I want to do this. It's exciting. Finally, Shiva gave some general advice to another post and said for them to cover their ass. This just seems to me like it would make sex more difficult. I don't remember which one that was too, but breathing deeply now to bring my heart rate down after such an exciting episode, a Massachusetts sloth. So, a manic sloth?
A manic sloth. I mean, they move like
yeah,
half a mile an hour as opposed to a quarter. That dude's like blazing fast. All the other sloths are like, slow down.
Well, that's why I was amused that his heart is beating 50 times a minute, because that's actually a bit on the slow side. So that's, yeah, that's fast for a sloth. So I was like, oh, that's very clever. I like that.
Good job. Good email.
Yes.
Onward to the next. Breaking up is hard to do. Hey, Notcast crew. Marcus Noble here. You wanted to know about breakups, and even though I've only been in one serious relationship, I thought I would share my experience and hope to help others by doing so. The relationship was going very well between myself and who I refer to as the girl.
Can you call her Sugar Tits instead?
We met on a furry chat website and found that we both had a lot of other things in common. However, after some time, we found something we didn't have in common that ended up being a deal breaker for the both of us. I have mentioned in this previous email some time ago, but both the girl and myself realized we wanted the same thing in the bedroom. This doesn't sound like a bad thing at first, but we wanted someone who was more commanding and dominant in bed. Since this was something I could not really offer the girl and she couldn't offer me, we agreed it was best we part ways. Even though it was a mutual breakup, it was still very hard for me. Thankfully, I had family and friends willing to listen and to help get my mind off of it. Which leads to my advice for anyone going through a breakup. Find some way to get your mind off the situation. Sitting around idle is just going to make you feel worse. Getting back into things you enjoy doing helps to keep your mind off what happened and into something else instead to help coping. I cannot read tonight.
It's because I'm sitting next to you. You know this. I'm just running off.
Yeah, you're just... Your terribleness is in my airspace. Now, several months later, I started talking with the girl again over Instant Messenger, but just as friends. We talked about our lives, jobs, and our hobbies as friends, and just that. In fact, she revealed to me I was the reason she started watching pro wrestling. Ah. We still talk on a fairly regular basis and even follow each other on Twitter now. So even though the relationship didn't work out, it still felt like it was a worthwhile experience, and I still have a
copacetic
relationship with the girl.
Ha, I can
All's
say
well
that.
All's well that ends well. I always like sharing my stories with you and your listeners. Anyways, have fun and be safe. Marcus Noble, the Hockey, NASCAR, and WWE Lewinstakunk.
Oh, yeah. Very good advice.
He
good
didn't
advice.
Say he likes Kool-Aid. I know.
You know, Macho Man Randy Savage stopped his heart to save the world from the rapture.
Was it right at the same time? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh,
and what's
God.
Funny is that people added it to the notable deaths and screenshotted it off Wikipedia. like, this day, Randy Savage, like the guy's name, all those known Randy Savage, heroically stopped his heart to save the world from imminent rapture from the Christian God, Jehovah, and his son, Christ Jesus. He was successful.
Awesome. That's a good legacy to leave.
So, give me half a second.
Oh, the horror! The horror! Dear lovely crew members of Notcast Potter. Actually, I can't read this in Rickman because it's a long email. Let me first tell you, I happily stumbled across your podcast when trying to keep sane at work. I spend all day polishing stuff, not the kind of polishing that's enjoyable. And you guys keep me laughing enough I don't want to write a catchy phrase on the wall in the polishing room and splatter it with the best part of me. But seriously, you guys are great, and thanks for having an awesome show. On to the topic. I guess I'm sharing a story and asking for some advice as well. I was in a long-distance relationship with a female fur who actually introduced me to the fandom. I had always been a furry, I just never knew there were people out there that dug the Redwall series and such as much as I did. But after nearly 2 years of being together, we decided to try things a bit more permanently, and she moved in with me. We quickly got active in the fur scene in my hometown, and I made some of my first fur friends. However, things ended up taking a sharp turn for the worse shortly after she moved out, particularly on my end. The fire died, and living or being together were not an option for me anymore. We both knew it was a possibility when she moved out here, but when I ended the relationship, she exploded. She proceeded to log into my fur affinity page to write horrible things about me, immediately flamed me on Facebook publicly, and basically just went insane. She called my work all day, and when I finally answered her, she just yelled at me and then hung up. I was scared. I felt horrible for moving her out here and realizing that things weren't going to work, but isn't that part of any relationship? But sometimes it does take living with someone to realize that you just aren't compatible. Needless to say, it was very rocky, and I even had to change FA accounts, fursonas, and block her on several websites. I tried very hard to end things civilly. I even offered to pay for her return trip home. She refused with vigor and now resides with a relative. My only advice for anyone who decides to take an LDR relationship to the next level is to be very clear about your intentions and let it be known that things may not work out. I know that can sound negative, but I think people come into relationships thinking that there isn't a possibility for an end. It's better to be prepared and take things a day at a time than to start planning the rest of your life together. Then, if shit hits the fan, you'll know that it's very normal for relationships to end. They can't all be winners. As with all relationships, sometimes there's going to be an obstacle that you just can't hurdle. Things will change when you move in together. And it's okay to set up a plan for when your mate moves in if things don't work out. And I guess here's where I wanted to ask for a little bit of advice. As I said, my ex does still live in my hometown, and I basically was isolated from the group of friends we hung out with. I love the fandom, and I'd really like to get active and make more friends, but to be honest, I'm terrified a confrontation will happen with her eventually. Especially since she really tried making me the bad guy. It really sucks, considering I'm very, very hard against feelings and drama. It kind of seems to me like everyone who knows everyone in the fandom, and I'm... Yeah, like everyone knows everyone in the fandom, and I'm terrified of landing myself into a bad situation at a group fur meet or something. So I was wondering if you have any advice with making fur friends in my area. Should I just man up and wait for the inevitable, or am I being delusional and thinking I'll run into her? Any thoughts you have would be really helpful. Thanks, Flit. P.S. Doomy Fuzz.
It's even there in the email.
That just like so came out of left field too. I was just like, wait, what? That would solve your girl problems, I guess, being done with that guy.
He doesn't say how long ago that this one all went down. I mean, was it a relatively recent event or
Well, they were together for 2 years, and I don't recall if there was any other. I was too busy reading. You guys should have been paying attention.
Well, the question is, I mean, does she, okay, she still lives in his hometown.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, dude, you're gonna have to, like, man up and just go to these meets. And if she comes to a meet and, like, proceeds to shit on your tacos or whatever,
gross.
Well, she's the one looking like a horrible person.
Uh-huh.
Not you.
Yeah, and, you know, and I you would be just concerned.
Like, dude, chicks are crazy. Isn't that right, Recky?
Chicks are bitches.
just giving I, so I mean, you do. I think you do have cause for concern that she might be giving you a negative rep in the local community. But if you're not active in the local community, then they're just going by what you're saying. I'm sorry, what she is saying, and you're not there to defend yourself. So it is worthwhile
to just go out and set a different example.
It's worthwhile if you want to be involved in the local community that you make your presence known again and start going to these meets. Also, some meets, I don't know about your area, but some meets are quite large. And just because there's one person there that you really don't like and aren't going to get along with, there's no reason to kind of punish yourself by cutting yourself off from the local community. You know, and if she goes ape shit and attacks you and is acting like a total bitch, then yeah, she makes herself look bad. Like, you know, there's, it's possible that there will be at least one douchebag at an upcoming meet that I don't get along with. But in a meet that large, I could probably avoid him for most of the meet and hopefully have it not be an issue. And I'll try not to actually say anything shitty about that person. So if he talks shit about me, then he's the one that looks like the bad guy. And you might want to kind of approach it the same way. Shiva, do you have anything to add?
No.
Saverin?
I'm good. Basically, you gotta man up and deal with it, because bitches are crazy. And
you should date dudes. I should have that printed on a t-shirt.
Just a crazy date.
And then go to a lesbian bar.
So I'm guessing this one's mine.
Yes. Yeah, whatever the next one is, yeah.
Fan mail, oh no. Is
that it? Yeah. I was just amused at your.
I love it.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
This is a Jihadcast.
Yeah.
It's a great name for a podcast, though.
Jihadcast.
Welcome to Jihadcast. We'll be talking about the latest technology and blow your shit up.
Welcome to Jihadcast, Death to America.
I'm your host, Death to America.
And fuck Britain, too. All right. Fan mail, oh noes. Dear casters of nuts. I'm writing to tell you all how much I love your show. I think it's really great what you're doing here. So many people are helped by your words, and you should all be proud of the service you're doing to the furry community. I myself am a homosexual guy, pretty much leading two separate lives all the time. Family, coworkers, non-furs know me. This totally straight, completely ordinary person, furries know the real me. It's tough going to school in a very conservative area, so conservative the first gay couple I've ever met seen together was at Anthrocon. But the fandom in general and your show have helped me survive it thus far. I'll probably never come out to the first category of people. Why should I? They need not know what I do in bed. But I worry what it'll be like when I find a mate as far as dealing with the family and the question of why haven't you brought home a girl every holiday. I'm not actively asking for advice about this, but if you want to talk about it, I won't stop you. This is, however, more of a thank you email than an advice request, so I'll conclude it shortly. Hey, look at the conclusion. Thanks so much to all of you for doing this show and helping people out with their problems. You're all awesome. P.S. to Fuzzle, if your collection of short stories is very good, keep writing. Oh, and to the tech-savvy at-risk one in the back who's really running the show here, you're pretty much awesome. You need more credit, so I'll give it. The one who's used to do, for one who used to do light sound shows, Tech Furs Unite. Thanks once more to all, Shadow Wolf, the one who writes, not the furry porn artist. Well, I came from an extremely conservative area of Texas, one of the most conservative areas of Texas, and, I've told the story before, it was hard at first, and, family wasn't supportive at all. You know, gonna burn in hell, all that good, wonderful, lovely, you know, Christ-like stuff. And then now Sarah and I just celebrated our 5-year anniversary yesterday, and my mother and father love him to death. They wouldn't be happier with me being with anyone else. He's just a part of the family now, and they defend us till, you know, and this is coming from people who are like, you're going to burn in hell, and
except for you.
You're all sinners.
Except for you.
Yes. But, you know, and they came around, so, you know, it sounds like you're probably, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but the way you're making all those people sound, it sounds like it's going to be fucking heartbreaking when they figure out you're gay. And I'm probably going to condemn you to the fiery pits of hell, and probably going to tell you you're a faggot, you know, God doesn't love you, all this other bullshit. But at the end of the day, if your family's really your family and they really love you, they at least come to tolerate it.
It may just be the thing.
And just love you for you, you know. So, you know, don't get so don't get too down about it. So, and thanks for the compliment on the show.
Mm, yes, thank you. And yeah, I don't have much time to write lately.
Making too much furry porn.
Yeah, making other people's furry porn and non-porn. We sell non-porn too.
What? Really?
Yes, really. I want to get that out there.
Again.
What's non-porn? No, I'm playing.
It's not all porn.
I think that's the halfway mark too. At 6 emails.
Yep, that is in fact 6 emails. We're going to go to our break if we have nothing further for this email.
I gotta pee.
So we're going to go to break. And if there's anything else, we can discuss it after the break.
We can discuss water sports later.
No. No, we can't.
I would love that.
No.
And on that note, good night, big balls. Wait, no.
Not really.
Going to a break. There's going to be music. I will find it. You will find out what it is afterwards.
Water sports!
This week's song is Brohoof by Bucktown Tiger. Enjoy.
How my brony brothers slow your hooves up, go above. How my brony brothers slow your hooves up, go above. How my brony brothers slow your hooves up, go above. How my brony brothers slow your hooves up, go above. How my brony brothers slow your hooves up, go above. How my brony brothers slow your hooves up. Let me see your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof. Rainbow Dash, I'm super fly like Rainbow Dash. Now watch me take wing up, call me Twilight Sparkle, I bling bling. And my clothes are the same thing, I'm like Rarity, custom made barely. And my pinky ring so fly, 3.14 carats, call it pinky pie. All it, I go hard with my brony skills, I hold it down for the Phantom and Pony Bill. And you would think that I was Fluttershy. By the way, I say yay as I touch the sky. Making all the pony haters fall back. I'm a country boy, brony, call me Applejack. So if you're with me, what? Bring it back. Put your fists in the air. Let me see your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof. Your bro hoof, your bro hoof, let me see your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof, your bro hoof. Rainbow Dash, I'm super fly like Rainbow Dash.
It's so awesome,
Rainbow Dash. Like New York State, I got Rainbow Cash. The people just got equal there. Yup, pretty soon we gon' all be equal everywhere, everywhere. Tell the nightmare moons we gon' be riding now. And we gon' throw a big party, homie. Up with me, all of my friends, and my little pony. You're 20% cooler if you're a brony. Put your fists in the air. Let me see your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof. Your bro hoof.
got a friendship. Magic got a friendship. Magic got a friendship. Yeah. Let's be ourselves and make magic out of friendship. Magic got a friendship. Magic got a friendship. Yeah. Let's have fun making magic out of friendship. Magic got a friendship. Magic got a friendship. Yeah. Let's change the world making magic out of friendship. Magic got a friendship. Magic got a friendship. All my brony brothers, throw your whoops up. Throw them up. All my brony brothers, throw your whoops up. Throw them up. All my brony brothers, throw your whoops up. Throw them up. All my brony brothers, throw your whoops up. Let me see your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove. Let me see your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove. Let me see your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove. Let me see your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove, your bro groove. Out to all the bronies out there. They say we got derpy hooves or something. But hey, it's just how we do. Let me see your bro hoof. Let me see your bro hoof, bro hoof.
We're no strangers to love. Full commitment's what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just wanna tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up.
And we're back. Tonight, I'm going to tell you all about the anal douche with attachments. It's the carefree anal douche from our sponsors at adamandeve.com. Keep your back door fun, clean, and healthy. All over the world, people are discovering the tremendous pleasures of anal play. And now you can give your tushy the respect and cleanliness it deserves. The 3-inch bulb probe can be used alone, best for beginners, or with the 4-inch flow head attachment for squeaky clean bottoms. These sound like attachments you could have on a garden hose.
A vacuum cleaner.
Ooh, yeah, don't use that.
Suck it all out.
Very easy to use with water-soluble lube. We swear by this hygienic douche. Douche kit includes 3-inch bulb probe, 4-inch flow head attachment, and recce. For only $19.95.
That might hurt.
I was going to say, the shipping on that might be a little bit more expensive than normal.
But if you use our coupon code, KNOT, that's not, then you save 50%, free domestic shipping, and 3 free fuck tapes.
Yay! Fuck tapes.
So since we do talk about douches occasionally, anal cleaners, people we know, we figured you'd be able to order one from our sponsor.
Yay! Clean up your butt.
Yep.
Oy.
So I believe that would be your turn, somebody. That's
And remember, you want to clean out the bottom's butt, and the condom goes on the top. Very important. Not to mix those up. You know, I cleaned out my ass and then I fucked my boyfriend while he wore a condom.
Because everybody has to wear a condom.
It was really messy. Was it my turn to read one or? Actually, I don't remember.
Who read the last You don't remember who read the last email?
No.
What was the last email?
Wait. It was you read the last email, right? Because it was a 6, and it was me.
So you started, and then Ricky ends the round.
Shiva's turn to read. Yeah. Shiva's turn to read. Okay.
Episode 148, The Aftermath. Wish to remain anonymous. Okay. Hello there, guys and gal. Nod to Shiva. I'm a new listener, and I thought I would give my 2 cents for this episode, being the first new one since I started watching.
He said gays and gals.
Gays and gals.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I guess so. This story is about the first long-distance relationship I was in. I'm a male who was in a relationship with another male from Canada. I live in Scotland, famous for its tropical climate and its clean waters. Being unemployed, still being in secondary high school education, this poses a problem as we couldn't really meet at all, so I was saving every penny for a trip to go see him. However, 2 days out of our 1 year anniversary, my hopes were dashed when I discovered he had been cheating on me with someone who lived in a nearby city. After confronting him, my emotions shifted from being angry at him to sad to me wanting to give him a second chance, as he had frequently, in retrospect probably wrongly, said he loved me. However, he was having none of it, angry at me for getting angry at him for cheating on me.
Oh, fuck him.
He said their relationship was a 12 months of pain and suffering, and that he wouldn't be sad if it ended, and that he would be able to find someone else quickly, and proceeded to block me on every mode of communication. I haven't heard from him since, and I've wondered exactly what I saw him when I look back. There was a silver lining. I now had about 300 pounds, roughly $482, to spend as I please, no pressure, and really, more time for myself and my hobbies. I started to remember what I'd been missing and the amount of stress involved in that failed relationship. I've now learned not to get into really long-distance relationship, and more importantly, to take life slowly. I now live my life a quarter of a mile at a time. Plus 10 charisma for getting the reference.
Anyone get the reference?
Nope.
No. I'm sorry. I don't get the 10 charisma.
I don't
It's
either.
Okay.
Fuck I'm not that a... guy, though.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's a douche. Ass.
Yeah.
Fuck you. It sucked, and I'll go find somebody else, and I'll make my own casino with blackjack and hookers.
And fuck you for getting mad at me just because I cheated on you. Oh.
It's like, how dare you?
Yeah, that's like the worst fucking kind of
how
person.
How dare you be mad at me for being mad at me? Yeah, you came out ahead on that one, bro.
Yeah.
Just fuck him.
Yeah. Fucking Canadians.
Okay. So, next email titled Catching the Midnight Rider. Wow.
I believe that was an item on Adam and Dopkins.
Greetings to all the stable mates in the corral and their Tetris mistress. My, what an interesting topic to pick this time. I'm not sure if I want to call them horror stories or not, but I'll let you be the judge. Just about every relationship I've had sexually in a serious or semi-serious manner ended up with me losing contact with the other person in one form or another. I can remember a grand total of 3 relationships, 2 with females and 1 with a male, which is one reason I tend to say I'm straight with gay experience, but I digress. The first girl was in high school named Hillary. I can probably give out all their names as I have yet to date anyone inside the fandom, yeah? Blonde hair, blue eyes, she was seeing a couple guys outside of me, and one of them was a friend I also lost contact with. We attended a few things together, including my last prom, and nothing carnal ever happened, though more because of lack of time and opportunity than anything else. Plus, we were both pretty immature at the time. The last I heard from her was a phone call at least five years ago, and no contact since then. I miss her at times. Next was while working at the IRS with a typist named Juan. We did some very gay things, but I did not feel comfortable with the guy and decided to make myself scarce. I have no idea as to where he is now, and ultimately that may be a good thing, to be quite honest. The relationship was good while it lasted. A few months as opposed to the couple years with Hillary, and it's about this time that I kind of convinced myself that I wanted a chick rather than a dude. Finally, we have Jean-Marie, a pagan girl from a family of clowns. I met her on the bus stop, and we hit it off fairly well, and she was an art student and was working... And I was still working at the IRS. I still do, actually, but I digress. Now that I think about it, she was also a furry, but while I like her and miss having her in my life, she was a little bit weird. Okay, very weird, but I like weird. She has made some interesting claims that I won't go into off the chance she actually hears this, if it gets read on the air, but it involves demons and other nice things. I met her one other time, and that was by pure chance. Although more than Hillary, I wish she was back in my life for more reasons than I want to reveal at this time. Yeah, I'm a bit of maskist, but my persona is a combination of wolf and bear, so because of that, everything else I've gone through in my life, I know I can handle it. I don't think this has been a wall text, but if you throw it on there, et cetera, Kodiaks. You're Philadelphia Looperson. Looperscene. P.S. Things have gotten better and worse since the Furry Fiesta show, but it's still too much drama to get into here. If you're curious, talk to me about it at Fur Fright. Okie dokie.
Wow.
So, Jean-Marie, a pagan girl from a family of clowns. I mean, like, that's like the setup for a Weird Al song. Her name was Jean-Marie. She was pagan, and her family was a circus clown.
You need to be playing, like, polka music in the background or something.
Okie dokie. Well, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, at least it's not like, and then she tried to sacrifice me on her altar. Or
a clown altar.
A clown.
I just getting this weird picture of, like, a family, like, of Cirque du Soleil, you know. Cirque du Soleil.
We put the lay in Cirque du Soleil. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Giggity giggity.
We're going to do some sex magic, but you better put on the clown nose. Oh, yeah.
She squeezes the clown nose. And
next
thing. Then she slits your throat. Okay. Hope for the future. The title makes me feel like I should, like, try to read it like the dun, president dun, dun, dun. Or something. Hope for the future. My fellow Furfax. No. Dear casters of the Knot, I thought I'd send you an email in regards to something Fuzzwolf said a long time ago on the podcast about how he hopes one day people won't assume that if a guy is in a relationship, it must be with a girl. Stuff like that, and just in general, he was hoping in the future, nobody will make assumptions or judgments about someone's sexuality. Over the last couple weeks, my boyfriend was visiting my family while we were on vacation. During part of the vacation, just like every year, my parents' friends came and brought their kids, a 10-year-old girl and 7-year-old boy, along with them for a few days. Me and my mate didn't hide who we are from the kids. We still cuddled if they were in the room and stuff like that. Hopefully, that was all. My mate decided early on that he was going to just explain the relationship to the kids if they asked, rather than ignore any questions or give vague answers. One day, while I was busy ferrying people between our cottage and the mainland, and so wasn't there, the 7-year-old boy asked my mate why me and him were always together and why we seemed so close. My mate responded that it was because I was his boyfriend, and waited for the kid to ask a flood of questions, but questions never came. Rather than my mate having to explain that some boys like other boys instead of girls, the kid figured it out on his own, started talking about how some boys like boys and some girls like girls, then moved on to talk about how he saw a movie where two girls kissed, then the kid's ADHD distracted him with something else, then my boyfriend's ADHD distracted him with something shiny in the water. It might just be me, but this situation gives me hope for the future. Yes, it will be over a decade before that kid can even vote, but it's still a sign that the next generation might be even more accepting than this one. This 7-year-old kid didn't even blink when he realized me and my boyfriend were a couple. He simply understood it was a relationship, not a gay relationship. Also, I think I have a part in the kid's present and future acceptance of gays. Me and my mate are probably the first gay couple he's seen, and currently the only gay couple who is practically family to him. The kid only has one grandparent left who he doesn't see too often due to the drama between his parents and grandma. Meaning that me and my mate will be who he thinks of when he thinks of gays, and we're practically superheroes to this kid. The Canadian wolf tiger, Cats. P.S. Sorry for the rambling email.
That is an awesome email.
Yeah, that was a great story. I didn't think it was rambling at all, but thank you very much for writing in with that.
I love the part about then the kid's ADHD and then my boyfriend's ADHD and they were just off and doing things.
It's like my little brother, right?
Yep.
Told him back, what? That was like, 2000?
It was a couple of years ago. Right. Wait, he was 11 at the time. How old is he now?
15.
That was 4 years ago? That must have been close.
3 years ago.
Okay, that must have been close to the beginning of the show. So yeah, probably 08.
Like, yeah, he was like 11. Yeah, he was just like, that's nice. I want to go fucking play Guitar Hero now. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Has he mentioned it at all since? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, like,
are you thinking about one of the thing with the internet fag gay?
When you're explaining, no, fag doesn't mean gay. Fag means people that camp in TF2 or something. There was something like that.
Well, yeah, we were over at my parents' house for something. I don't know. It was Christmas actually, and he was playing Call of Duty online on his PS3, and he was just like, "Oh, what a faggot!" And I just kind of looked at him, and he looked back, and he was like, no, like, that doesn't, not like gay, this guy's camping, that's a faggot. I was just like, alright, if you're taking it back, that's fine.
You're taking it back.
Hey, actually, that would be appropriate, because faggot, meaning camping, fireplace, original meaning a bundle of sticks,
yeah,
it comes back full circle.
It sure does.
Bit of an extrapolation there, but it works for me.
It's nice to know, seriously, to a 15-year-old, the word faggot doesn't mean gay. It means mm-hmm. some son of a bitch that keeps camping me in Call of Duty, which I'm fine with that.
It's all good.
I guess I get to read an email now.
Yeah, yes. Your turn now.
Late open topic email is late. Howdy, thou wizards of naughty casting. Got a late one for you, but I could also, or I could use some good advice. Dealing in a potential relationship almost could be type thingy. Also, long story is long, not looking to be put on air, your decision just blah, blah, blah. First, spelled with a U, you terrible person. So I've always considered myself to be gay, spelled with a G-H-E-Y, you double terrible person. Or at least what I think idiots who can't understand that someone can enjoy both genders. Excuse me. Dinner is making me hiccup. Mm-hmm. So, I've only had same-sex relationships in the past. Some are manic, some purely sex-based, but recently I became fast friends with a dun-dun-dun-dun female who's also a furry and considers herself bisexual. We met in Second Life, got to talking, and now we're planning on visiting one another, visiting each other in RL. First trip is me flying to Chicago. Thought I'd never fly after being in a medevac with a pilot who sexted while flying 200 feet above the ground at 180 miles per hour. The second trip is her flying to Kentucky, I guess that is, yep. to spend some time yep. and return. Here's the odd thing. A week ago, she confessed that she is emotionally, romantically, to some extent, sexually attracted to me. And I told her likewise, but made sure to explain to her my past being only with males as a bottom and never being with a female. She mentioned her being turned on by my lack of understanding of the female anatomy, if not a bit weirded out when I told her the only thing I know of the female organs was when I assisted a 450-pound woman in having an explosive birth, something I swear has forever left a mark on me, and I still can't get aroused by straight porn unless I think of the dude.
Is this what you're laughing at, Zara?
I'm just thinking explosive birth.
Her pussy fucking exploded everywhere!
No, baby, everywhere!
It makes me think of John Hurt in the first Alien movie. That's an explosive birth.
She's just screaming, baby flies across the room like a cannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Shot from a cannon.
Well, Unfurled recently had a song written for their show called 21 Cunt Salute.
Oh.
Which was basically about that.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, continue on. So she's all right with my past and told me she'd teach me everything. But the point is, like a fox, I don't know the first thing about dating a female, let alone know if it's the right decision or if I should pull a womanly twist and friend zone her. She has an attitude, mannerisms, intellect that appeals to me. Plus the chance losing my virginity with females. Hadn't heard that one yet, you fuck. With females appeals greatly, but I'd be betraying my gay side and all the work, donations, and attending of the LGBT events. Feels like it would get
hold the bi
it.
Region until he's done with you.
So I really don't know if I should go out with her with my feelings of not being able to please her, not being experienced, and not knowing how to treat a female to a relationship. Thanks, guys, and lots of Murphy loves to y'all. Drake Z07. All right, so here's how this is going to go down. You're going to explode and get it out, and then I'm going to calmly follow up with what I've got to say. So go,
dude. Look at those four letters: L G B T. You know, those donations also apply to that fourth letter, the bi. And that doesn't mean that you're betraying...
Fine people don't exist.
You're like, not fucking...
That's the third letter.
I know. Wait, fucking bitch. Donating to transgender causes?
Back in the kitchen, you don't have to... You don't have to know numbers.
The seriously. Girl's asking you to fuck her, not tuck it back.
Yeah, it's not like she's saying, oh my God, you're fucking straight. You know, like you said up at the top...
Also people... begging.
Hmm?
Begging exists.
Yeah. It's just like you said at the top. Idiots who can't tell the difference between someone who can enjoy both genders. You kind of just...
fell into that yourself. Yeah.
Disclaimer. I hope she was not calling you an idiot. I think he's just scared.
I know what he's... I understand if he's scared. I kind of get a little bit weirded out when I'm in a straight relationship and have to... face down and defend the fact that I'm bi, so I've been on this side of things.
He's just afraid of the sand, the gears, and the sarlacc pit.
The teeth, and the razor snail.
And pillow pants.
The thing about dating a female, and they're just people. They do have a little bit of difference psychologically than guys. I mean, we tend to be...
You don't give her power tools for her birthday.
I'd like power tools for my birthday.
That's if it's like you a, half a die.
If it's like a jackhammer strap on.
But yeah.
Well, remember, the girl he's talking about is half a dyke, too. She's bisexual as well.
Oh, yeah. You brought me some roses and a craftsman, you sweetheart.
Actually, that's fine. I'd be perfectly okay with that.
Crazy, awesome hammers that multiplies the force. Awesome.
So. I can understand being kind of weirded out about the female anatomy, but all I can say is try. I mean, it's despite what Fuzz and such might say, we don't actually have teeth down there. There are no internal pussy trolls. It's just a wet and squishy hole, not that much different from a butt.
I'm just going to say, oh shit, what are you thinking? Get on this. What the fuck? She's offering to teach you the ropes. Fucking have some fun, dude.
If you're just worried about being inexperienced,
and she's
she
all
knows,
like, I'll fucking teach you.
Yeah, she's knows gonna you're inexperienced. You. Just... She wants to school you on this. You have an opportunity to lose your inexperience with someone who is offering to show you the way and is understanding of that position.
The thing is that I've been this girl. I like cherry picking, for lack of a better term. I like virgin.
Is that some freaky lesbian like, shit?
I think she was trying to say she likes boning gay guys.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Or nerds. I mean, you know, it's kind of six to one, half dozen to the other. So I like, you know, teaching the ropes. So I understand where she's finds this interesting. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Why you like it. It would take a while rambling for me to get it out.
It's not hard to describe or understand. I'll be
dealing
honest,
with
the
that
idea
first.
Of clarifying to some other guy that he likes the dick and popping his chocolate cherry is fun for me, but I don't do that anymore.
Everyone likes to think that they're Marco Polo when it comes to sex.
And sometimes you can be.
Not really saying that. I just...
Plus, that first time where they're describing that they're... This is exciting, and they're a little bit scared, and they're a little bit, then usually very amped up. It can be a really fun time.
Yeah, okay. So, see, I'm looking at that last bit where he feels like he's going to betray his gay side, and I agree with what you said about the bi. I'm like, dude, seriously? You could be like, in a straight relationship and still be bi and still donate to gay causes...
Hello.
You're not like a traitor to the cause. And honestly, dude, if she has an attitude, manners, and intellect that appeal to you, plus the fact that she's offering to show you the fucking ropes, what the fuck are you thinking not going towards?
Right. Her? If you're bi, it doesn't matter what's between her legs. You like her mannerisms and personality and the way she treats you.
It doesn't matter if you're like questioning. Experience is awesome. Experience is fun. Locking yourself out from experiencing sex with both genders, even if you're, like, moderately, inquisitively bi, that's just foolish. I think, and this is my somewhat hedonistic side coming in, where it's like, if it's there, go for it. you know, in your, you know, you're both mature, consenting adults.
Consent a lot and have fun. Sorry,
you almost sound like a wolf. You know, if you can't eat it, fuck it. If you can't fuck it, you know, fuck it till it moves.
I don't. Wow. And I admit he hit a rage point.
You love me.
With me about the whole betraying the LGBT because he goes with both genders.
Yeah.
And I admit that that's an anger point for me because. Yeah.
I'm going to throw one more thing in here. Even if you do this girl and you end up dating this girl and staying with her forever and you never fuck another guy and you decide that you're actually straight. That doesn't mean that straight people never donate to gay causes and aren't behind equal rights all the way. There are a lot of straight allies. So and even Lord if you are straight, you're not betraying anything to gay rights or the equal rights movement. So you would still be a cool guy. So you're all good there. Sorry, Recky. I think we cut you off like 10 times.
No, it's already. Okay. I was going to wait. I usually, you know, just try to save for last if
let people go. Let my roar out because I saw me.
Yeah, I can hear the eyes starting to twitch from here.
On me or him?
You. The you know, I guess my point is there's two different things I want to say. First, about the you know, they covered it pretty much as far as, you know, donating to LGBT causes. Don't feel like you've betrayed the community or something, because if you're an ally, you're an ally. And to be honest, dude, from what it's from reading your email, it doesn't sound like you'll ever be straight. It sounds like you're very bi. It sounds like you have a, you know, a heavy interest in both genders, and that's wonderful. I mean, who here is bi? Raise your hand. Okay, everyone here is bi.
Shit, I just realized that. No. The whole cast right now is bi.
But we got the whole level of scales. Well, we don't have a mostly straight person, but we've got heavily towards the homosexual. You got me. Well, I guess I'm kind of towards that too, but, you know.
As I've said before, there's certain types of girls that I find beautiful, attractive, just fuck the shit out of them. They're hot as hell. And I, you know, but I could never date a girl because that's not, you know, I like the companionship of a male.
Yeah, but, see, I'm kind of in the same
boat. But I still like female bodies too.
Well, you know, I take you, I guess, a step further and like, yeah, I'll bone either gender, but I'm with Panther. So.
Yeah. Well, and then this is my view on your relationship, you know, the potential relationship. Be careful, take it slow. This is something you're unsure of, so don't be too hasty with a relationship or anything. You know, try things out a little bit. Right now it sounds like you're clouded by the idea of, oh my God, am I gay or am I straight? But it sounds like you're bi, and you are about to have this new experience. So you need to have that experience first before you even think about loving or dating this person. So have that first and decide if you like this person, because if you end up being with her because she offered you something new and this whole experience is exciting, then you've started dating her for the wrong reasons.
Well, there's also the case, like, my other half, Siam, has had a kind of weird disconnect with some people he met online. He knew he was a guy. My mate Siam is very straight, not interested in the dudes at all. But this other person, he knew he was a guy, but they've hung out for years online. And he's like, look, I really, really love this guy romantically, but he knows that he wishes the guy was a girl. But he knows that physically, if they got together, there just wouldn't.
There'd
be nothing. But he still loves the person. It's this really weird disconnect of getting to know a person and then the outer shell is not compatible. So there is something to be said for getting to know people meet space. You know, and finding out if, you know, if the pussy does indeed scare you.
And you really need to decide, okay, it sounds like you're a bottom. Yeah, there is the option of a girl pegging you. But to me, that wouldn't satisfy me. Even though that's another reason I'd never date girls, because while you know, girls are wonderful. I like boobs. I like pussy. They don't have dicks. But guys have a hole. And, you know, boobs I can deal without, you know. Everyone has an ass. you know.
That's my line.
But for me, my perception is girls don't have the pole, you know. And just that's something I can't do without, you know. And girls can have a fake one.
But it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. The, you know, the feeling's not there. That you know, for me, that you know, masculine interaction is gone. You know, because
there's no pull.
So you've got to.
What do you hold on to?
Yeah, you've got to really think about that. You've got to think, okay, like I said, this sounds like this is something new. This is something exciting. This has got you. You know, you seem like you've got tunnel vision on this and you're like freaking the fuck out. So you've got to stop and think about the other side of the tunnel. And that's bad. But you got to turn around and look and think, okay, this is awesome. This is amazing. I may like it. But could I ever deal with not having the alternative? And if you can't, then you need to reevaluate your situation. But if you can and you fall in love with this chick, then...
And
go for it.
But nothing's saying that there's open relationships to right. help fill that urge.
And that there's that, and you don't ever have to say that you're. I'm hearing some static a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to say that you're straight, even if you're with a girl for the rest of your life. Because if you like dick, then you like dick. That doesn't mean you have to date someone with a dick.
Yeah, I mean, you like pussy. You like pussy.
Just calm down, figure it the fuck out, and don't make any. Sudden decisions that you're going to regret.
And to be honest, being with another bi person, whether it's two guys, whether it's, you know, a girl and guy or a girl and girl, at least when you're with another bi person, it's nice because they kind of understand that both sides have these urges,
mm-hmm.
that they understand that you're attracted to X, so are they, and vice versa. It can be really fun going out in public and saying, dude, she's hot. He's hot too.
Hey, look at the fun bags on that hose hound. And yeah. then you bro fist and you go home and fuck.
Yeah, well, that very much so.
You know, Sarah and I are both bi, and you know, this is a sex and relationship advice podcast primarily, so I don't mind talking about my sex life on here. But there are certain don't look at me like that. That's a creepy motherfucker. But anyway, like there are certain things that, you know, I like to behave very dominantly. Sarah likes to behave very submissively, so that we've got that chemistry there. But to be honest, I mean, he has a drawer full of panties and a skirt he wears, and I've got a little girly boy at home to fuck the shit out of, you know, that...
Cuz you're disturbing.
And I'll be honest, I did before I came over tonight. So, you know, I'm in a very good mood today. Had me some motherfucking ass and some motherfucking Whataburger, and you know.
So. That's one of the best things. I go out with Siam, and we're like at Akon, and suddenly I'm looking at like something on the table, and then I feel tug tug. He's like, look over there, and I'm like, oh my.
Oh,
and he's
it's like, a hot oh, Rainbow yeah. Dash cosplayer.
Oh, like, that's not cool. Don't say that.
But it's like, look at those boobs.
And did
like,
Siam suddenly become gangsta? Yo, check out that fish.
And yeah, but the whole was like, and we're both ass. Going, the whole, holy shit, dude, it's hot.
Shake that ass. Shake that ass. What?
It's a rap song.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
You torpedo my iPad at your neck.
Please don't. You might break the iPad.
I forget your roommate is here and I'm talking about all this horrible shit.
It's okay. We've scarred her enough.
She's over there smiling and nodding. Ricky, you're a terrible fucking person. Zip. Oh, well.
Yeah, you really are.
I've come to
you're a terrible
this.
Person. But that's the cost of living in... Notcast Tower.
Notcast Tower.
It's shaped like a dong.
I'll give you a dong.
All right. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, we're going to read an email.
The next two are small.
Yeah. No subject.
He said it was a good size.
Hey, guys. My mate Stefan is a huge fan of your podcast and said I should look to you for advice. I've had an issue with my anxiety since fifth grade, and it seems like I'm always really down and sad. All I see is that everyone can do better than me. I've even asked Steven why he stays with me, since everyone he could ever find would be 100 times better. I just need some advice. I'm at the end of my rope, and I just don't know what to do anymore. I can't open up to anyone, even family, and I'm going to be 19 soon. Thanks. Any advice appreciated, Wolfie. It sounds like depression, at least in part.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty classic, you know, description of actual clinical depression. Most I can say is you're 19, you're still young, there's lots of time to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
You can seek professional help and do so. It'll make you happy. It'll make Stefan a lot happy.
Yeah, seek help.
And not like in the arms of friends, but go to professional.
It also could be normal teenage hormones.
Could be.
Because, I mean, I was very mopey and shit like that when I was 18, mm-hmm. 19, 20, you know, even getting a little older.
Yeah, I was too.
And, you know, and I'm much better now. But, you know, at least now I know if I'm in a mopey mood, it's probably I need to eat something and shit like that. But back then, yeah, it was probably all just the act of growing up and, you know, learning who I was and shit like that. And it's a very mopey time.
And, well, sometimes even if you go to get professional help, it may not be mean meds. Sometimes it just means somebody to talk to who you don't see day to day. It's someone you go, you unload your burdens on, and you walk away and you leave that behind. They're not going to see you day to day to judge you. They're not going to have, you know, constantly that person who knows stuff about me is seeing me day in, day out.
It's a private source.
Yeah, it's someone to go unload and go through some cathartic shit.
Yeah. I mean, when I went a couple of years ago to a psychiatrist over some anger issues, believe that or not. And, it was nice to have somebody to confide in and someone who is professionally trained to try to help you figure it out. Now, someone telling you what your problem is, that's bad. You know, mm-hmm. that's not a good psychiatrist. But someone helping you discover what your problem is, that's a different story. This guy helped me figure out what my problem was. And, you know, and since then I've gotten better. And so professionals aren't always quacks. You can find one that is helpful.
Yeah, so it's a possibility. If you are out of school, you might have to use your parents' insurance, or sometimes schools have resources like this. If they don't have one in-house, they can sometimes refer you to outside associated members.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not be alone, and sometimes you just need an outside voice.
Yep.
Okey-dokey. And the last email.
Final email.
And display images. Oh, Christ. Okay. House Pets Radio. Linkage. Hello, Knockcast crew. The URL for House Pets Radio, who we talked about last week, is hpr.podbean.com. I'm sorry, David forgot the link in the initial email. Anyways, I'll keep filling our ears with all the wonderful random information you could dish out. Sincerely, Nick. Yay!
Yay, we finally got to share the link.
They ship Grape Nut. Okay.
So we're going to...
They're like siblings. They're cats and dogs, but they're own... Oh, why?
And they're making out?
Yeah.
That's hot.
I have no idea.
And also, King and the other one. There's Rule 34 of this comic strip. It happens. It's just like anything else.
Oh, okay.
So
but it's okay. House Pets Radio, hpr.podbean.com. There you go.
Do we want to briefly talk about our recovery periods?
Yeah, we should probably talk about the subjects that we talked about.
Yeah.
This week.
I mean, okay. I can get one out of the way real quick.
Sure.
For me, I had, like, you know, someone who I was really infatuated with when I was younger, and, it was, you know, when things didn't work out, it was hopeless, it was, you know, it hurt, I cried a lot for 2 years, Just week after week was devastating. Like I could hear a song from an album that he gave me or a band that he liked, and I would just like sink into this depression. I would cry, and it was just, you know, and I would just get fucking miserable and pitiful about it. My friends would be like, dude, fuck, you know, just get over it, you know, and I couldn't get over it because I was dwelling on it. I was squared in on it, and it's all I thought about. I let it kill me. It was miserable. I didn't try to, yeah. You know, people always say there are a billion fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. There is more than one person out there that you could spend the rest of your life with. But whoever you find, that's someone you fall in love with, you grow with, and they eventually become the only person you ever want to be with. Or whatever, you know, persons, if you do that. But you know, I tried to move on for 2 years, and I was miserable to everyone around me. I wasn't living up here at the time. I was poisoning my friends because I let it consume me. I was always depressed, and I acted like, you know, I had some tragic story occur. It was tragic. It fucking was. It was an awful story. And I mean, there were people involved. There was abuse. There was, you know, shit thrown. People choked. I mean, it was bad. It was just bad shit. And finally, I decided to get into a real, actual relationship with someone I had something in common with. I was going off and dating people that I had nothing in common with, I guess, to escape and not hunker down with someone, you know, get serious.
Something in common. You both had a penis.
Yes, there was that. You know, and about the only thing we had in common, though, was video games. That was about it. And then I met Sarah, who there's a lot of, we don't have as much in common as someone would think, but the stuff that he likes that I'm not into, I don't dislike, and vice versa. And we have enough that crosses over, like, you know, there's furry, there's video games, there's a little bit of music, there's our world views are very similar. I mean, and that's really important, but like, there's enough that crosses over that those things that maybe I'm not so interested in, like his fucking bagpipe screeching music, I tolerate it. You know? And you know, my shit that screams, my music, you know, he tolerates that. You know, my attitude problems sometimes, like I get a little pissy, he tolerates that.
You?
He'll rant and rave about something that I think is irrelevant.
Oh my god, this fucking purple went to the goddamn pump thing. You know.
Well, I mean, but it may not be irrelevant to him, so I respect it and I just deal with it, you know. And through building that relationship with him a few months into it, that the pain from the previous thing that never came to be and just killed me forever, it went away. And like, now I'm really, you know, good friends with that person, you know, and you know, there had been some ups and downs because of people who didn't want us to be friends for whatever reason. They had emotional investment in someone else's friendship, which I think is foolish. And I made some pretty severe mistakes because of that. And over time, things got better. And my relationship is wonderful now. And, you know, the friendship from that bad, non-existent relationship that killed me for 2 years is fine now. We never actually did anything cruel to each other. It was just unfortunate. Your situation, however, I don't think has been entirely fair towards you.
Well,
that's just an opinion of mine, and I think it's much different from what I experienced.
There's shit on both sides of the fence with that. It's just,
It's a long road, and I admit it's been a long time since I've had any kind of breakup with anybody. I mean, one mate 14 years, the other one almost 9. It's been a long time since I've had to sever any relationships that were in any way, shape, or form more than fuck buddies, casual, you know, not anything like serious, romantic, life investing. You know, it's been a long time since I've had to go through any of that, and it's strange territory, and I'm having to rethink about what I'm going to be and who I'm going to be now. It's kind of having to redefine myself, and that's a hard... I knew who I was and what I was going to do and everything that I was... I had two people in my life who were going to do this forever, and I knew what my role was, and...
That begs a question from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that this is ending with one individual, are you going to just... my question is, are you going to be monogamous with... the other, or
haven't really crossed that bridge. Okay. It's mostly, well, we've kind of half talked about it, and it's both basically I've said, okay, I'm done with at least intentionally this lifestyle for a while. It's mostly I've had about all I can take about relationships right now. I'm not interested in actively seeking anything, not interested in dating. Not interested in, you know, whatever else. I've just had everything I can take with relationships for the time being. Maybe eventually, I mean, when I say I'm poly, I more mean that I am prone to falling in love with more than one person at a time. Mm-hmm. When I say poly, I mean that it's not just I have other people turn my heads. I mean that I am prone to having emotional investments in more than one person at a time. It's just like any other love. You don't exactly seek it out. Sometimes you just trip over it and there it is. So will it never happen again? I don't know, but I'm not going to go out and sign up on dating websites and start asking people out on, do you want to go date? It's just, it might happen. It's my tendency to do that. So for me, poly is not, you know, being slutty and just friends with benefiting out the wazoo. It's just my propensity of being able to love multiple people at multiple times.
I can understand that.
So that's just it. I mean, at different times, I've always been in love with Siam for 14 years. It's just periodically, both he and I, there have been other people who we've been in love with as well as of each other. And we've made allowances for it. You know, Siam let me, you know, go out and get married and bring this other person into our life. And he's been patience of a saint throughout all of this. But it's been years since I've felt anything else or even allowed myself to even go down that path. Because the situation that we were in right now was called polyfidelity, which is basically monogamy, but with multiple people. You don't go out and, you know, date just because it wasn't an open relationship. It was two guys with me. We didn't date anybody. We didn't go out. I mean, it was just a close.
They didn't.
No.
No.
No. It was what's known as a V. Basically, on the pivot point, they were friends, and that was it. And they were good friends up until all this. And, you know, but like I said, I can't say if I'm ever going to fall in love with anybody again. You can never tell when that spark's going to hit. It might happen never. I don't think it'll have next week because I'm just too wound up right now.
Right.
And you're just not in the mindset to start, you know. When you're really angry, it's hard to, you know, get with someone when you're that mad because you're too concentrated on that anger.
Right.
So, but I'm just that feeling of fed up. I'm done. I'm not looking for any outside interaction. I'm not going to go jump in the dating pool.
As far as, you know, having those kind of feelings for someone outside of your, you know, immediate relationship, you know, I understand that. There's someone that I've had kind of a weird off and on interaction with for
a while.
4 years or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Rick. Yeah, I didn't know you felt that way.
And, you know, that's that recently has been a lot stronger than it ever has been. But would it ever come into my life like that? And no, yeah, it wouldn't. It can't. And I don't function that way. I love Sero romantically. Like, this is my one partner. This is the person I want to, you know, we have the same bank account. You know, we live under the same roof. We sleep in the same bed. You know, all this. You know, he is my other half in every sense of the word. In every sense of the word, you know, there's someone else that I feel close to. I feel like, you know almost. You know, it's not the same.
No, and it might.
It's sometimes it's dangerously close, but it's definitely far from the same. So I understand where you're coming from. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and it's a rare thing. I mean, you might get somebody that you have your one true one, and then there's someone who comes into your life and you date
someone
them.
Someone who's important to me. I would never date anyone else because I can't. I am monogamous as far as a relationship goes. I cannot be with more than one person because that my mind doesn't think that
and
way.
You may form a crush on somebody, though, but that's not like dating. That's not falling in love. I mean, you may have affection towards somebody else, and if you're in an open relationship, you may be fucking around, but there's still always, it's a very different thing with your partner, with the person that you're building a life with.
And that's what I'm saying. That's kind of the difference between, you know, open relationships and poly is when it came to both of the people in my life, it was very much building a life of all partners. It was, I felt the same for one as I felt for the other. It was a unit. It wasn't. I'm just saying, it's like I'm capable of that, and I was happy doing that. It's just now that it's fallen apart, it's just, you know, I'm just, it's, have you ever, you seen those movies where people are like, fuck men, you know, I'm done with them for now. It's like, that's kind of like what I'm at. It's like, I'm just done with people. I'm just circling my wagons, gonna find out who I am, what me and the other mate are to each other once somebody else is we're done parting ways.
Right.
And just trying to, I gotta figure out who I am and what I am, and then it's just hard to do because I'm 34. You know, I'm not in my early 20s. I'm well established in my life. And now I'm reorganizing it from scratch, and it's not easy because I'm just overhauling my life. I'm reevaluating everything I had planned for the next bazillion years.
Well, you know, honestly, they've known you longer than I have, and I've just been recently in the past, since November, gotten to know you?
Round about then?
Yeah, and, you know, so far I think you're pretty fucking cool, and
thank you.
But
you're okay for a woman.
You're pretty fucking cool, bitch. Anyway, no,
fuck you.
But no, I don't know. It seems to me that like it's once this is all said and done, the individual's gone, everything's settled. It's over completely. There's no more attachment. And it almost sounds like
it's going to be the thing is it's going to be a lot of attachment for a while. It's going to be a lot of,
well, I mean, like monetary and physical attachment, like legal attachment, stuff like that. Of course, there will be emotional things to deal with for as long as that takes you. I'm not you, so I wouldn't know.
To be honest, I'm still hung up with some of the guys, and I wouldn't say hung up, but I think about and I consider some of the guys I dated when I just got out of college. So I know that I'm prone to, you know, wondering about my past exes.
Well,
So
there's one thing that you can be aware of and be happy with is that you do, even through all this, have someone in your life that loves you.
I'm so grateful for that.
That will, from what I can understand, always be there for you, and you're not going through this alone, and so that's a plus.
And I admit that that's one of my greatest fears. I mean, and I don't think it has anything to do with Polly, because I was Polly before this game. I mean, I watched my mom and dad split up, and my dad's remarried. He's with his high school sweetheart of all people. But my mom is alone. She lives by herself, you know, doesn't date anybody. She's dated like two people. One guy was turned out to be a lying fuck, and the other one died of brain cancer. Mm. I mean, she's all alone. She has no one. Her family's pretty miserable. And I know I'm scared to be her, so I am so glad that the other mate has, you know, been there to cry on throughout all of this. Because if I was going through this alone, I was afraid I wouldn't be strong enough to go through it.
I think it's very lucky and very wonderful that you've got Cyan there for you. So
I'm just... It's hard. And I'm just saying, whoever knows me, and a couple of the listeners have written in and said, sorry you're going through all this. I appreciate all the well wishes. But I'm just saying, if I seem kind of weird over the next couple months, I'm sorry. And it's going to go through that whole time of, figuring out who and what I am. And that sounds trite and cliched, but it's just kind of, So, long ramble cast of Shiva's having a bad time. Polyamory is going to the pooper. But it was a good 9 years, and I'm glad parts of it happened. And I'm sorry that other parts of it didn't go well. So it's just, now that I'm 34, it's... What the hell do I do in my life?
Right.
I thought I was set for life. I thought I had everything, and now it's gone. Well, not everything, but, I had a...
That part of it's gone.
It was one shape, and it's turning.
Now it is pear-shaped.
Yes. Good analogy. And maybe donut later on.
Fuck bitches, get money. There you go.
Fuck bitches, get scritches.
Is that when you, like, got
you
crabs?
Double furry.
Get bitches.
Wow.
Fuck bitches, get scritches.
I just hear that saying, I think, is that, like, lice or scabies or,
No, crabs? Someone's scratching you on the back. No one said anything about a fucking parasite.
Parasprites.
Don't feed the parasprites, especially after midnight.
Don't feed the ponies.
Don't feed the ponies.
They turn into chest bursters.
Get in your head with the songs.
Oh, God.
And then burst out of you.
Yep.
That explodes.
So, Saverin, do you have anything to add to the getting over shit? Or whatever we're calling this episode?
Well, I've been pretty lucky. Most of my earlier breakups were rather amiable, pretty good, I'm done seeing you, or, oh, look, you went on a 3-week cocaine bender, and I decided I'm not going to see you anymore.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You were dating Pinkie Pie? That's awesome.
No, she goes on 3-week benders of pixie sticks.
Well, see, Pinkie's okay because she can act normal. When she wants to.
You just have to get her really depressed.
This chick was, the first time, she admitted she only dated me because she wanted a baby. And she wanted me to...
Whoa!
She wanted to fuck and have a kid.
How old was she?
I was, 17 at the time. We were both underage.
Holy crap.
And I was like, you crazy bitch. No.
God bless Texas.
So I was like, you know what? So I was pretty cool with that one. And then the other chick I dated sort of briefly for a little while, just kind of real casual-like. Because I was again, under 20. I was dating chicks to try to prove myself I was straight, but I wasn't, so.
Mm-hmm.
I discussed this a couple times.
So the chicks were a lie.
The chicks were alive, but it was nice to get my parents off my back.
I could see that.
And then, but she had, like, a rough past and some shit, and she had had some drug problems, but I was okay, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like my first girlfriend.
And then she disappeared for 3 weeks on cocaine bender. And, well, I was like, well, that's about that. And that was it. Mm. Then there was, like, a brief thing with the crazy dude in St. Louis, but...
Is that the one who decided he was Christian?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go all into that one anymore. I took all, like, that one left me more a lot more rage than sad. I was sad for a little while, and then I took all that sad and turned it into pitch black, bileless rage that that fueled me for, like, a year.
Mm.
And, like,
because... That's when Saverin became Saverin Dark Fox.
No. and, like... Tapping into that reserve of rage kept me from, like, jumping off a bridge in Washington into a churning channel of sharp rocks and pointy death. Because I was like, no, fuck killing. I've told this story
before. Fuck killing myself. Yeah. I'm going to kill you.
No, I was like, if I kill myself, those fuckers win. Fuck those guys. They're not winning.
Yeah, we don't need any
black rage, you know.
And they never found the body. The end.
Like, I'm like a total dark side. I'm a Sith. I'll tap into my rage to keep shit going.
But it's okay.
I've been with Panther 6.5 years now, and like, shit's good. So I'm not too worried.
Yeah,
that other guy can go be a miserable, you know, closet Republican cocksucker, and I'll be happy over here. Smiley face. Yeah, it's like my shit's like, yeah, it's like that was pretty. That was like that one was okay. That one's okay. The other one, you know, gave me a fuel source that I've tapped into.
Oh my god!
But I've mellowed out.
Yeah,
I really have. I mean, you know,
totally.
I can still be intense when I need to. Hell, you could ask Tyrion when you get home if I've chilled out. So,
dude, I can say you've chilled out just from knowing you for the past couple of years. So,
yeah,
my recovery period, it's about 3 weeks, and then the swelling goes down.
You insensitive fuck.
It's a joke. I'm all sad now. No, first girlfriend went kind of crazy. Second girlfriend just kind of stopped seeing each other. First boyfriend decided he couldn't deal with the distance. It was an LDR after about a year. And I had tried to dump him because he was manic depressive. And it was really driving me crazy. And he had guilt tripped me into extending the relationship. And then he dumped me like a couple of months later. And I was like so pissed at him. For about a year, and then I was over it, and, you know, we actually get along okay now. And then I dated a guy that we were just kind of dating, and I knew it wasn't really going to go anywhere, but it was fun for a while. And then I met Tyrion, and now it's 10 years later. So that's pretty much everything right there, as far as people I've actually dated. So, I guess the worst one was the year-long, long-distance relationship that broke up, and I was really pissed about, but, you know.
That's a long time ago now, and...
That's a decade ago. Oh, more than a decade ago. That was, like, when I was, you know, what Saverin would describe as a nub fur. That was when I was very early on in the fandom.
The last one I broke up with was... Before Siam, which is over 14 years ago, it's. I've had my breakups. I've had my really pissed at times, but
oh, hang on, we're starting to write a country song here.
I was young, and it was 14 fucking years ago. So it's
then your truck stopped. Your truck got stolen. Your dog died.
My dog.
Your grandma got run over by a train in the rain.
Yes. So it's like, fuck. It's been a long time. It's.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with myself.
But shit's better now, yo.
I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, so, eventually. That's just it.
Yeah.
Get through it.
Do we have a topic for next week?
Going to sleep.
That's our topic for next week. Sleep. No.
Yep. It's pretty late.
So I guess...
Subtopic, ponies and socks.
Beating Saverin in the face.
No. No rule 34.
They make abuse. No, they're just cute pictures. No, we'll think of a topic and Saverin will post it to the FA. And, oh, yeah, so...
The FAU.
We haven't done this in a couple weeks, but our website is either foxstuffers.com or notcast.com. Our email address is notcast@foxstuffers.com. We can be found as username notcast on Fur Affinity, LiveJournal, and Twitter. And we have an IRC. Is the IRC kind of still going?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Active. It's one of the more active things on AnthroChat.
That's really cool that that's still going. So that's irk.anthrochat.net. Notcast.
Got to have a registered nick.
I should actually be here next week. So.
Okay, cool.
I got to go to Louisiana and Arkansas, but only for 2 nights, and I leave Monday. So I should be back late Wednesday, and I'll be here Thursday.
That's cool. Yay! Wow, 2 weeks in a row.
And then the week after that, I go to Houston. And
I don't
the week
know.
After that, I go back to Houston.
I actually might have to miss either this Thursday or next Thursday. My work is actually giving me like official CPR training, so I'll be. I think I'm going to get like a certification out of this, but I think I have to for liability reasons. But hey, it's free.
Yep,
it's cool.
I think that's a nice.
So, hope y'all are having fun at Comic-Con, you lucky bastards. Take pictures and send them to us.
Especially if anything pony-related. They like pony-related.
There's a giant Pinkie Pie there.
And lots of Doctor Who stuff.
And the Doctor himself, Matt Smith, is out there. Part of me is like, I'm so jealous. And the other part of me is like, 175,000 people, and I don't want to deal with that.
So, anywho.
On that note, good night.
And big balls.
Yay.